1,000 apologies, our humble fans. 1,000. We know we've been tripping. We haven't had the crew together. We snuck y'all with the Geek World All-Star Podcast Network. We didn't do a lockdown in a couple of weeks, but we're back and we're here to stay. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol Lockdown. And with me is my lovely and talented and beautiful co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm feeling charged, man. I'm charged because yes. We doing some shit that we ain't never thought we would do on this show.
I know. When you asked me to do this, I was fucking floored. This is my jam.
Well, here we go, guys. We're doing Hamilton, man. You know, they released it on Disney Plus. It's a household thing, y'all. You know, I'm just Johnny come lately to the store. I paid for my kid. I think I paid like $400-$500, you know, a piece for my kids to go to the show when they came to Cleveland. And I was like, how much? A grand? For real? Is that what I'm paying out? A grand for a goddamn show? Why are you kidding me? You know, my wife giving me that look. So it's just like, okay, a grand for the show. So, you know, I've been hearing music from it from forever. I've had questions, Tiff, you know. I'm like, why is Hamilton rapping, man, you know? But then when they started telling you, because they get excited if you just, like, show any kind of interest in it. And they're like, well, I'll tell you, and you're like, stop. I don't care. Go away, you know. I'm about to play my video game. So I've been ignoring Hamilton. You know, it's been very successful. Very successful is not even the word for it. It's
beyond
blockbuster, kick you in the ass, knock you in the teeth, and I'm gonna take your lunch money successful. That's how successful it's been. So this is what we're doing this week, guys. And right, the purpose of lockdown is to do stuff that we don't normally do, and also do things that we do, you know. We want to just keep it fresh, you know, for lockdown. And I think we've been doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
So, man, we are doing Hamilton, the 2016 recording that was released right before the 4th of July for Disney Plus. And I think it was a good move by Disney, Tiff, to do something.
Now, I heard, and I'm not sure if this is true,
okay,
that Disney has made it so that you can't just do the free month right now or whatever.
Oh, you sneaky bastards.
Because they knew that people would try to get the Hamilton, they would get it just so they could watch Hamilton.
We are hereby discontinuing the free month.
Right. So like, I don't know if it's how it works. I'm not sure if that's true because I already have it, so I didn't have to interact with that in any way. But I heard that. Isn't that crazy?
I think it's smart business. It's like, no, we know what you want. Pay your $7.99. Pay, at least give us something. I looked and I've been, doing a tiny bit of research. Been downloaded 70,000 times just over the weekend. You know, just ridiculous. Ridiculous download.
How much do you think they paid for it?
Oh, Disney don't care.
No, they don't care. I'm sure it was obscene.
Oh, you know it was obscene. But for Disney, they was like, huh, we don't give a shit. Give it to us. We knew we would get it eventually. You know, so they grabbed it. This has nothing to do with Disney. You know, it wasn't commissioned by Disney. It's not a Disney book. It's not a Disney play. But they snatched it. And, you know, I decided that, hey, why not? Especially in the spirit of Independence Day and all that stuff. And I think that was the whole point because of all the canceled fireworks displays and all that stuff. And, you know, they said, let's give some people some patriotic stuff, you know. So they did it. So, man, here we go. This is Hamilton 2020, but actually it was recorded in 2016, PG-13, and I hear that my daughters was like, they watched it with my daughters, y'all, because I had to have young people in the room, and my one daughter was pissed because she was like, there's so much profanity right here, I hate that they straighten it up. I was like, really? Oh. So it's, you know, they changed some things so it can be PG-13 and not, you know, do some of the stuff they was doing. But Tifflebot, you're a fan, so you already know that shit. Just so that's for the people like me who don't know. And so let's see, 2013, 2 hours 40 minutes, not bad for a play, y'all. Not bad for a play.
No, but if you go to the theater a lot, that's, you know, pretty standard.
No, you're doing 2 hours, then they're gonna say intermission, and a guy like me is like, well, no. Not intermission
because for several reasons, one of which is that you go to a movie, you can sit there for 2 hours. But also because I hate shuffling around and letting people out. It's a pain in the ass. But okay.
So, full disclosure, fans. My daughter is an actrice. She's the artsy fartsy one in the house. She's a tiffle-botter of the Bradley house. And so, she's in play after play after play after play. And because she's my daughter, of course, I go to play after play after play. I'm about to call myself Mr. Bradley. Montego... don't like plays, man. I'm telling you. I don't.
What?
Not at all. Not at all. Nothing is more torturous for me to have to go to a play. Now, anyway, I digress. Let's get back on track. So I'm just letting y'all know I don't like plays. You know, I don't like show tunes and shit like that. I don't like it, y'all.
So I do.
Yeah, right. We know that, Tiff, right?
It's my favorite.
So... play starts. I'm only going to go through a few of them. Lin-Manuel.
You got to do your one word.
Oh, well, I normally get to who's in it. And then,
oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Right. No problem. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's the star and, you know,
Hamilton.
The writer and he's the director too, right, Tiff?
He's everything.
He's everything. It's his baby. And Philippa Soule?
Philippa Soule.
Yeah. Defined. Illustrious. Leslie Odom Jr. is in this. Renee yes. Elsa Goldsberry.
Yes, she's great.
David Diggs. Now, we've been everything Snowpiercer. So he's the new Snowpiercer. He's on Hamilton. He's on Blackish. He's every goddamn where. Jonathan Goff, Chris Jackson, Jasmine Jones. I cannot pronounce this fella's name. I'm sorry. It's like, ooh, it's heavy African. Wow. I can't do it. It's bad. Anthony Ramos. It's a play, y'all. It's a billion people, okay? So,
and we'll never name them all because even if we did name all the quote unquote important people, there's all those people in the back. Yeah, so.
Oh, Tiff.
Not happening.
My favorite background character.
Yes.
That's the sister that only got one line, but she's walking around with the big afro.
Yes, she's beautiful. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Woo! That's my girl right there. I watched her the whole play. Anyway. So. Now, man, it's time. Let's get into it with our one word. Yeah, what's the one word?
My one word is phenom. And I'm saying that in both the sense of phenomenal, great, but also phenom as in like it's one of those things that happens like once in a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. This is the Lion King, right? This is something like that. Yeah, this is a Star Wars. This is a Superman. This is big. This is Cats. This is a big daddy.
This is Cats.
My one word, man, is mind-blowing.
Oh, okay.
I was really blown back by this thing. I knew it was going to be something, but right after halfway through the first musical number, I was like, huh. Now, this is some shit you've never seen before, not even in plays. And that innovation blew my mind. So I'm impressed right from the beginning. So that's where we'll start at. So, man, this is about the Revolutionary War. It's about Alexander Hamilton, father of our banking system in the United States of America, George Washington, all the founding fathers. And the most impressive thing I have to say right from the beginning is that everybody's supposed to be white, but maybe like two or three white people was in the whole thing, you know? And I'm like...
yes.
Badass. I thought that was a badass decision. What about you, Tiff?
Yes, I love that. And I would say that most of the white people that are in it, if not all of them, are people that we don't like King George.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that's funny, right? You know what I found really funny about King George? So I'm sitting there. My daughters are trying to school me as we're going from number to number, right? And I'm trying to school them on actual history, going from number for number. And I'm like, yeah, man, you guys, you know why he keeps looking like that? I said, that's pretty clever. They're literally playing up on the fact that King George was thought to be so inbred that he was like literally mentally diminished his whole life, you know, that because they had been inbreeding so much, you know, in the British Empire that you had this fool, this court jester who was the king at this point. And the actor... does a phenomenal job of just having this look on his face, you know, just looking like he's staring us into oblivion, and like he was, his mouth was moving without him actually thinking about what he was saying. And I thought that was really clever. I mean, did you pick that up?
I did not. I love Jonathan Groff. That's who plays King George.
Yeah. Yeah. He spits too much.
I love him.
He has a spitting problem, though. Goodness gracious. I was like, ooh.
Yes. Very spitty. He's very famous. He's got a big Broadway background. Mm-hmm. He's in a lot of, he's the voice of Sven. Is it Sven? The guy in Frozen.
Oh, I've never seen Frozen. That's another
well,
one.
Well, don't. So that's kind of, you know.
That's damn near a play, Tifflebot. So
yeah, it's true.
So I don't mess around, man. So, man, we start basically with the two main characters of the show, man. We have Alexander Hamilton and we have Burr, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're young, you know, full of vigor, Tifflebot. And
yes,
they meet on the street, you know, and there's so much stuff going on, so much innovation going on. I want to point out right from the beginning, it took me a minute to realize that it had a double rotating stage in the middle. And
yes,
that was cool as hell, Tiff. I mean,
yes, they use it to great effect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it almost creates a montage on screen with the different things that's going around. So Hamilton meets Burr and they become fast friends, man. And quickly, you know, Burr's thing is like, keep your head down, you know, and don't talk. And
yes, talk less, smile more.
Smile more, man. And you know, that's just not Hamilton. I think he tried it for 5 seconds, but that what he's a talker, man. You know, he's a revolutionary. And everything, guys, is in rap. And that blew me away.
Yes, there are some songs, but mostly it's rap or
conversation is rap.
What do you want to say? Like lyrical speaking.
Oh my God. It's freaking hip-hop to the max. Yes. And they're good, y'all. It's not like they're, oh boy, look at the white guys trying to rap. It's not Vanilla Ice, let me put it that way. It's not Hold My Hat when my DJ revolves it.
Oh God. Oh, that's great too.
Right. And I try to solve it. No, I mean, it's really, really good. And it's not like a weak link in the bunch. No matter what nationality they're from, everybody can rap. I mean, sweetly. And I'm like so impressed by that. Because that could have been a disaster, you know? That could have really been bad. You could have had, you know, hey, my name is Trey, and I like the gay, and I like the flay, and, you know, who the how to hey, and you'd have been like, God, this sucks so bad. These guys are the worst, you know, untalented dudes on the planet, but they can sing and dance, you know? So let's try to teach them how to rap. But that's not the case. The people could do it.
Yes.
So quickly they go and they meet the homies, Tifflebot. You know, he meets the homies. Now, who are the homies here?
John Lawrence Lafayette, Marquis Lafayette, Hercules Mulligan, my favorite.
Who actually didn't have a big role in the Revolutionary War, but they just kind of pumped his role up a little
more. Well,
he
was like, was he really a spy?
I'm not so sure about that, but his role in that whole era is really so diminished that there's not even much that known about him. Hence why you could put him in the play and do things with him. You know what I'm saying? You can literally do a lot of more things with a person whose history is not so concrete like Hamilton or John Madison or something. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
I think they did that. Right, but he doesn't have a lot of history written about them.
Exactly, exactly. So the set is phenomenal, Tiff, and it doesn't even
doesn't change that much.
Doesn't change that much, right? And I'm like, they were able to work with what they had pretty sweetly. But I love the homies, Tiff. I love the homies. You know, when he meets the
which,
homies,
I mean,
they're awesome.
And they do important stuff during later songs. Like, well, so I say songs, but during the actual. So this is when they meet. It prefaces the Revolutionary War very shortly, like it's slightly before the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
They're gearing up to confront
the British Empire.
Right. So this is kind of the beginnings.
Yeah, so this is a whole, let's pump each other up, but we ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it. It was pretty much what it was, but the name of the tune was I'm Not Gonna Miss My Shot, and I thought that was just awesome, man. Now, who's your favorite homie, Tiff, at this point?
Hercules Mulligan.
Hercules
Although Mulligan. I do like Lafayette a lot.
I like John Laverne's, man. I mean,
really?
Oh,
that's surprising.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably, like, would be the, not least popular, but probably everyone would probably say Lafayette because of its Diffie Diggs.
Well, yeah, but you know something? Lawrence was all about, look, we going to end slavery, right, from the beginning. I was like, oh, that's my boy right there. I'm like, he is on it. Right. Now, of course, David has that, man, I'm not going to say swagger because I hate that.
He's charming.
Oh, my God, on another level. But see, later on in the film, I think he's even more.
Right. He's so charming that, like, you kind of forget these guys are all assholes, actually.
Oh, right, of course. But I liked him better as John...
Thomas
Jefferson, way better, but we'll get to that. And so I like the homies, and they all have personality, and you know, they're brothers to the end, man, and I love it. And you got Burr, who's just like, he's not really one of the homies, but him and
he wants to be part of everything, but I think they never say he's afraid, but obviously he's like afraid. He's very reticent. He wants to be on whatever side ends up being the winner,
basically. Yeah, he wouldn't give
not necessarily the British. But like,
I'm not even so sure about that. In
his politics later, he's very on the fence. He will go either way.
Of course he will. Right.
So
they meet, and we got the homies. And so, you know, we're on our way, man. You know, these guys are fired up, and they got some fantastical musical numbers. And I don't even like musical numbers, Tiff. But I'm sitting here, and you have to play close attention because the dialogue is in the flow. And so if you just listening to the music, and you're going to miss what's happening in the play, you know? And right. It's like, it's interesting, you know? It's like, it's a different type of viewing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like just watching and enjoying, because you're going to miss it.
Because, so as somebody who listens and watches a lot of musical theater, I think there's kind of a debate of opinion between, like, if you should listen to a show before you see it, like, which is better. I'm not saying you shouldn't, because some people are not going to ever have the opportunity to see a show.
Oh, I get it. So so you can, like, actually enjoy the performance.
Right, so there. If you listen to it, you can get used to everything and then actually go and kind of like, oh, I'm excited to hear this song, or, like, yeah, watch the actual action, because, like, a lot of times, which is really great about this recording particularly, is that, like, some musicals, like, famously Les Mis, there is no speaking in Les Mis. It's all singing. They sing the whole time.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, in this, in Hamilton, there is speaking parts. It's not always on the record. So, like, you can't hear some of the things that, like say to each other necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuff like that.
So, I love the young homies. And, you know, they, you know, pump each other up and to this brotherhood in several musical numbers. So then we're introduced to the ladies, Tiff.
The Shuler sisters.
So let me ask you a question. Were all three of them sisters, or was it just the two?
They were all sisters. I don't know the history of Peggy, but I kind of wonder if she died. I don't know.
Probably so, because she became so insignificant at a point that it didn't matter, right?
Right. It was mostly about Angelica and Eliza.
Ooh-wee. Now, so these, you know, I love it because it's about, you know, courting and young love and just being a dog and, you know, meeting the ladies. And I dug it so much, you know, this whole thing, this whole musical number. And the sister with the puffy hair, what was her name, the older sister?
Angelica.
I liked her so much. Damn, I liked her so much. And I was so confused at first because I was like, I picked up the electricity between her and Hamilton. And I was like,
right.
Why is she introducing her to her sister? You know, and then they went back and
which was really cool.
They did the whole number pretty much again from a different point of view, you know,
yes.
But didn't tell you what was happening. And that's one cool thing about this thing is that they do shit like that. And you're like, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Y'all let me. Right. And I was like, damn, well, I don't know why they didn't go for each other immediately. You know what I'm saying? It just was like, damn.
Yes.
You were there. So, but it's a great number. The ladies' number is great. And it's not, you know, nothing diminishes. It's so high energy in this first, you know, act of this play. And everything is used, you know, perfectly. The background characters, the dance, everything. It's great. I can't, you know, I don't even like this type of shit, Tiff. telling you, I don't like this type of stuff. So we quickly get our first look at King George. He comes out after the number, after people are introduced.
Okay, so here's my problem with King George.
Okay.
The songs that he sings are so good, and he's so funny, and it's so well done, that you're like, oh, these are like some of my favorite parts of the show. And you're like, you're not supposed to like this guy. I mean, that's the only problem, is that he's like too good.
He's like, but see, because he's actually a goddamn idiot in real life, you know, he's just like, yeah, it's, I mean, it reminds you of somebody who may be in office now, Tiff. but I digress. Let's move on. King George and our president. There you go. So here we go. So I love his number. And we get introduced to, I was watching this with my family, of course, my daughter's favorite character, George Washington.
Oh, wow. That's her favorite character?
That was her favorite character. I was like,
I'm impressed. I like him too, but
yeah,
I feel like a lot of like young people are probably like, oh, Hamilton, you know?
Yeah, of course. But yeah, my oldest daughter, that was her favorite character. And I was like, well, why Hannah? And then this cat comes out, and it's so funny because, you know, this show, these original cast members, you know, they're not with the show anymore. And I've been seeing these cats on TV all over the place. You know, this guy is one of them. You know, I'm like, I know that dude. He's a guy. He played it, you know. And so he's acting on television now. And he's nothing like George Washington. You know, there's no singing. There's no dancing. It's just a drama that the show he's on. And, you know, he was very powerful. You know, George Washington, always imagined him as a super dick. Just in my own personal opinion, I was like, you know, I just think he was a dick. He had wooden teeth, and, you know, they had slaves. He only went one term. Why would you do that? You're the father of the country, and you go one term. What the hell is that? You know, and so it was always perplexed me. Like, why would you do that? But anyway, this guy was a hero, and that's what George Washington was supposed to be to the colonies. And quickly, there's Burr trying to you know, be his boy. You know,
yeah, kiss his butt.
Oh, can I kiss your ass, massa? You know, but no, you know, Washington doesn't want that, and he likes Hamilton because Hamilton is just a smart cat. He's outspoken. He has fire. I mean, that's one of the running themes in this thing is that he never stops. Right.
He's almost
always moving
to his detriment. Right.
Absolutely to his detriment because he needs to chill. You know, like when the sister moving forward, when the sister came back, you know, his actual real love, that, you know, take a break. And he even didn't take a break when she came in town. And I was like, God damn, right. He's dedicated. But it's a good thing he probably didn't take a break because he probably would have got them cheeks and they'd been real big pop.
Here's the thing. I know that we are in the beginning of the play, but later something happens. Mm-hmm. But that cannot be the first and only time that he did that.
Oh, hell
he no. Just only got caught one time.
Oh, absolutely. And it was
you know what I mean? Like, he's a famous womanizer. Like, before he gets married... There's that whole joke in the play that Martha Washington named her feral tomcat Alexander Hamilton because he was running around.
He was a hope. You know he's a hope. How do you know? Because they told you so. Yeah, he was a hope. But he caught
the... If you look up Alexander Hamilton now, he's still handsome by today's standards.
Yeah, you know.
So, like, you know, sometimes you got it going on.
Pick up your $10 bill, y'all. Just take a look. So, the one sister loves his dirty bath water. She falls in love. We talked about that earlier. They do the little number. And I love the wedding scene they have, you know, with the two of them. You know, it's a big whirlwind of stuff. I like, because they're going from Tiff. They go from what? Like the courtship to the wedding to the homies, the bachelor party. They kind of do it all, right? You know? Right. And it's really cool. Really cool, especially utilizing that double circumference, that stage that just moves in different directions. And it's a great thing. I really like the first act so much. They decide to go to war, and I like the war scenes and the choice of lights that they use. That's kind of like fire and explosions without literally having people, you know, shooting guns on stage, cap guns and shit, you know.
And they use dance to like represent, like,
yes,
like people getting hurt or like, you know, movement of troops. It's very interesting.
Very interesting. And it caught my eye, and I'm not bored at all. You know what I'm saying? And I could have been bored, but not at all.
So they have some fights. Hamilton is frequently asking to be put in command. He wants to improve his station in life by
absolutely
going to war. But that's not what he's valued for. He's valued for his sharp mind. And so they
promote
one of the things that happens is he promotes a different person to general. And then that person badmouths Washington. So they
because of his failure. He blamed Washington because of his failure.
Right.
And right, they have a duel, right. And
and because of that, some stuff happens.
Well, right, a bunch of shit.
It just has a domino effect. But one of the things that happens is that Hamilton gets sent home as punishment because he was the one who kind of was like behind.
He instigated that whole goddamn thing.
Right. So he goes home and finds out that Eliza's having a baby.
Yes. And the scene, the dual scene with him and Burr both talking about their kids was really cool. You know, I'm digging that. That was it was sweet and very powerful. But then things change.
The tides turn.
Right. And they need some generals. And so is it before? It's before the intermission that Hamilton gets his regiment, right? Or
correct. So like we kind of see what all of the posse's been doing since they've all, you know what I mean? Like Hercules Mulligan is I don't know if this is true, like you said earlier, but like he's a tailor for the British. And so he's taking stuff that he hears from them back to the Americans. And then like Lafayette is like contacting the French and asking for more and getting more supplies and getting more, which, okay, let's talk about the fact that we really shit all over the French when they wanted help
forever.
their freedom
forever.
Fight.
Right. Right. Not only that, hell, we got mad at them and didn't want to call them French fries no more when President George W. was in office, right? Because of the Iraqi war, fries. Which was totally illegal. Americans, y'all, we some assholes. Y'all some assholes. I'm just saying. It's just amazing. I mean, poor French people, you know? Poor French people. Arms. And they ask for nothing in return. Nothing.
Well, they wanted our support, right?
Ally, that's it.
If they chose to fight in their own revolution, they said, please help us. And they're like, yeah, no problem, we got you. And then like later they're like, nope.
Kiss my ass, Frenchie. Just kiss my ass, because we're not going to help. I mean, it was like, damn. Yeah, won't even keep your word, huh? Okay, all right. All right. So, yeah, so Hamilton is commissioned, and they go to war, and they're successful. They do their thing. They do the damn thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and you know, very powerful at that point. And the last scene before the intermission is Hamilton with the two sisters, and because I think the one sister is going off, she's getting married.
Yes, she leaves. She gets married to a rich man
just because he's rich, and that's it.
Right.
And she goes,
which
away.
I mean, it's not her fault. It's something that needed to be done back then because women had no way to take care of themselves. So she married him, and then she moves to London.
Yeah, and then we have intermission, and I'm like, okay, that's not so bad. It's okay, that's cool. Now, Tim, the second the second half comes up.
Yeah,
and I was so confused at first. I was confused, Tim. I was confused because dead characters, because one of his dead homies, you know, he died, you know, in the war.
Yes.
Lorin, is that his name? And it was just bad, right? But they all come back. But it's confusing.
Yes, as different people.
Right. So now we have Thomas Jefferson, who was in France and came back to America. And now this character is played by David, and it's just, he got so much energy for me. I'm loving everything he's doing, bouncing around the stage and his rap. And he's really good, Tiff. He's really, really good.
Yes.
He's a spectacle. So he's Thomas Jefferson. The other homie, he's James Madison now, right?
Correct. So Hercules Mulligan is now James Madison.
Right.
And then the other friend is
His son. His 9-year-old son.
We just suspend our disbelief a little bit.
Right. It just took me a minute. If it wasn't for my daughters explaining that to me, I'd have been like, Tiff, so I don't understand. could you tell me what happened? Because it just stopped making sense to me. So at this point, Alexander Hamilton is super rich. He's older. And he's still working for Washington. Washington is the president. And Thomas Jefferson is back, and he wants in, man. You know, him and James Madison, they want in. And it's almost like a king's court with Washington being the king, as far as these people.
It's a very honorable, it's very coveted positions that they're looking for here. And they get them. I mean, here's the thing. This is the first, it's founding of our nation. It's very, you know, it's very easy for them. It's just like, the president's just like, and it's kind of like it is today a little bit, but like after you get elected, then he's like, okay, I need you to be, you know, our secretary of finance or whatever, and you to be our secretary of state.
Yes, yes. And so there's a fierce rivalry. You know, the first rivalry was between Hamilton and Burr. I mean, more so than a rivalry, almost a frenemy. He announces in the beginning, I'm the damn fool that kills him, you know. And so now it's him and Thomas Jefferson, which is, this shit was real. And the cabinet battle is sweet because it's like a rap.
Yeah, they're so good.
It's like a rap battle, you know what I'm saying? And like, DeVee steals the show. I'm sorry. Hamilton is good, but DeVee just got, I don't know, it must be the fro and the bounce, you know, because he's just a better rapper, man. You know?
And he has, yes, he's a better rapper. He also has his little entourage with James Madison, so.
Yeah, he always got his boy behind him, right?
And yeah, he's just like, I like how he's just like, repeats what he said, like, but gives him backup.
All the time. And this is the heart and soul and what I love about this show so much. Now, TivoBot, things become a little negative for me in this period.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because, you know, we get heavy duty into relationships things. And I'm like, it just drags some of the shit down for me. So the sister, you know, they keep showing her from time to time. He's writing her, and that's cool, whatever. But then this, all of a sudden, this harlot dressed in red comes out of nowhere. And Hamilton can't resist himself. And she bad, y'all. Don't get me wrong. So he gets the booty, Tiff, right? And he gets the booty, and he gets the booty, and he gets the booty. And she's married, but her husband don't care. But they find out he's Hamilton, and he blackmails him for years, you know, about this affair, which Hamilton pays. And it's just like, it sucks because that happens. And so that goes away. You know it's coming back.
Correct.
We get our vision of his son and the wife. I really like the scene where the wife was beatboxing for the boy. you know, doing his little thing. But it gets so heavy, you know, because so Burr and Madison and Thomas Jefferson come over to his house. And this is a pretty good scene. And they say, look, we got the goods on you. You a cheating dude, which I find real strange for other men to do to another man. I'm like,
well, it was really? More about the political, right?
It
the
political was, but still, fellas, below the goddamn belt, I ain't talking about them hoes you was messing with, you know? Goodness gracious. So, you know, they say, hey, you know, we're going to do this. But Hamilton's too sweet for him. He like, look, y'all ain't. Look, all that money was mine. It's not, you know, they imagined he was paying out of the U.S. Treasury for his hoes, right? I mean,
right.
That's what they thought. Wasn't the case. He proved it. But then Burr's punk ass, Tiff. He couldn't be a gentleman and leave it alone. He said, yeah, but I'm probably going to use it, you know, in the future. So you're not safe. And I was like, damn, Tiff, what about you, man?
Yeah, so, like, this is the part of the play. So we for George Washington gives his, he says, I'm not going to be president anymore. He sings One Last Time, which is a very sad, like it's a very heartfelt and kind of a sad song, even though it's also kind of, it's bittersweet. So he's basically setting up the president.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second.
Sorry.
Performance was phenomenal. Honestly,
yes, it was like, very good.
I mean, it wasn't just it was really good. So go ahead.
He's setting up he's giving up his presidency so that, you know, to protect, in a way, to protect the American people from having another monarchy. And so, you know, we had another King George. I think this is our last King George.
I loved it. It was my favorite one.
It's the best one. It's the one where he finds out that John Adams is going to be president.
Yeah, he's like so happy.
And he's like, oh, that guy's dumb. And then this is one of my favorite miniature songs in the play or the musical is the Adams administration, where we find out that John Adams doesn't like Hamilton.
No, nobody likes Hamilton.
And so privately, he calls him a Creole bastard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my favorite line, maybe the whole play, is when Thomas Jefferson, David Diggs, says, "Say what?"
Right.
Because he knows that, like, as soon as Hamilton hears that he's done that, he's just going to get destroyed by Hamilton. So this is kind of like the precursor to, like, everything that happens. So now that all these things have happened, what Jefferson and Madison really want is to keep Hamilton from being president. And he's very popular with the people. So they're like, okay, we're going to blackmail him. But then he ends up ruining himself by writing the Reynolds pamphlet.
Yeah, so he writes that to preemptively, because of Burr's pretty much saying, I'm going to hold this crap over your head. And he preemptively doesn't. And I don't have a problem with that. But goddamn, you should have had a talk with your wife first.
Yeah.
Damn, you ain't tell a little woman. And it destroys her. And I'm all excited talking about this, Tiff, but I was watching. I'm like, I don't care about this relationship. Shit.
I think this is an important part.
But, Tiff, it was so much of the movie. I mean, of the play at this point. It's almost like a third of the point of the play now. Because now it's not really about the Revolutionary War now. It's about...
Well, it's not about the Revolutionary War. It's about Hamilton.
It should have been about the Revolutionary War. But in Hamilton, but this thing with the wife, you know, he destroys the wife. And there's moving performances from him, from her, mainly from her. And, you know, about how he just crushed her. Because he was a bastard. He shouldn't have printed that without talking to his wife, man. God damn. So... He printed that, and he got it ahead of the scandal. That's all it was about, you know. But he destroyed her in a sense. And it was also kind of funny how they talked about the one son, because the one son decides somebody was shit-talking his dad.
Yes.
And he gets into a duel, and his dad tells him to put the gun up in the air and stuff, which was nuts. And he ends up getting murdered. But he wasn't Hamilton's only kid, man. I think he had like six
kids. No, he had four kids, I think.
I thought it was six, but, you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought he had six, but.
A lot of kids, everyone. He's got a lot of kids. But it doesn't make losing a child any less sad.
No, that's not what I'm saying. He got another one. Screw that, no. I'm not saying that.
He's got one more. He's replaceable.
No, I'm not saying that.
They have like a very sad song called It's Quiet Uptown. And it's kind of like the. Them coming back together over the sadness of losing a child.
Yeah,
and also just him no longer caring necessarily that much about
his duty
being famous or whatever.
Yeah, it was more so now he was turned into the woman who'd been there the whole time and never left his side and never did anything wrong to him.
Right.
And so... Yeah, that was cool, Tiff, but I was like, I like the first half so much better with the war and the women and the fellas and all that stuff. And yeah, it kind of bugged me at this point, Tiff. I was like getting a little bugged because I'm not a love story type of person, and it turned into a love story at this point. You know, when this thing was getting close to ending, I was like, well, I wonder why he didn't put Benjamin Franklin here. And my daughter cued me in and said, well... Because she's like an expert and shit, you know. She was like, well, he said that he really couldn't find a place for him, and that's why he made Hercules' role so much larger than it was, because Benjamin Franklin is woven in all of this stuff, and to have him completely absent of the whole thing. Hercules didn't take Benjamin Franklin's role, but Benjamin Franklin, you know, was absent, and that's why Hercules' role was so, you know, more than what it was for history. So
sure. Benjamin Franklin was too busy sleeping with prostitutes, sex workers.
He liked the hoes.
That's for sure. He was a big time womanizer, and
he was trying to invent
the first dildo he was trying to invent
with electricity. He said, "This needs something. I need electricity." So yeah, Benjamin Franklin was also like opiates and stuff like that. He was like, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, no one back then really knew. Yeah. That it was like bad.
And guess what? To be fair, hey. If I lived in that time with nothing to do,
yeah, I mean, it's like, TV. And also you probably like living was probably somewhat painful just from like, it's hot all the time. You have to shit in this bucket. It's terrible.
Chicks had to wear these corsets and all these crazy dresses and shit, you know?
So,
right.
So, can't blame anybody.
Right. So that's pretty much it, Wiz. You know, the sisters make
it. Well, right. We have the final
piece, right?
Showdown.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Where Burr kills Hamilton.
Yeah, Burr kills Hamilton in a duel.
Now here's... Go ahead. I mean, yes, fine.
Go ahead. I mean...
That actually happened, obviously. We all know that.
Yeah, right. Well, it's just like...
Well, why would you shoot your gun in the air, again, knowing what you know?
Maybe he wanted to die.
Maybe.
You know.
But he had other... Like you said, he had other kids. Although they were all maybe grown up by then. I don't know.
Yeah. So... That's pretty much it.
And then Eliza sings a song at the end. And I like that song a lot, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I want to say here is that apparently she lived for another 50 years after that.
That's not
Holy
true.
Shit, did she live to be like 120?
I don't think that's true. I don't think she did live that
she
long.
She lived to be really old, actually.
I didn't think that was true. But I'm going to have to go research that. But, you know.
So she died at 97 years old.
Okay. So.
Holy shit.
But, Tiff, I dug this shit, man. I really did. And I don't like plays.
Yeah, it's very good.
I don't like plays, y'all. But I didn't. I love the first half so much better than the second half. If you haven't had a chance to see this, do yourself a favor. Watch it. You know, I hate plays, y'all. And I like it. I think I'm going to watch it again just because there's so much going on. It's definitely some shit that I can, you know, get from it. But, you know, this wasn't a Tifflebot special, man, but it's a Tifflebot treat. This was like, here, Tifflebot.
Yes.
This is a treat for you, Tifflebot. Oh, shoot. So I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. And with me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tifflebot. What you got, Tiff?
It's been a midweek pleasure.
Absolutely. And, well, we don't do On Patrol on the midweek show.
Yes, we do.
Do we? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, we will be
on Patrol. Time.